Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final roast tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
He's Matt Gray from Fantasy for Reality.
How you doing?
And I'm Spencer Kitley, and this is After Reality, and this is truly one of the best times of the year. The Bachelor is producing high drama 8 weeks in. It's one of the more head-scratching final groups we've ever had in the Final Four. Also, podcast favorite, the Challenge Invasion is rolling towards the Champion Invasion. In 3 weeks in the show, it's excellent. It's really hard to beat this combo. Before we get started, I want to remind you, you can find us online on Twitter, at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. Or Matt, where can we find you on Twitter?
We are at Fantasy 4 Reality.
There we go. The numeral 4, or fantasy4reality.com. I don't think I've checked up on my Challenge Invasion scores on Fantasy 4 Reality. I'm kind of disjointed. I'm on the beta site for The Bachelor, and I'm on the regular site for the Challenge. I had to remind myself to bounce back and forth.
Sorry.
No need to apologize. They're both great. I'm waiting for the first editorial of the season, though.
Yeah, I know.
The first opinion piece. Maybe I need to come to work on staff and write opinion pieces.
We'd love that.
Hey, and you had a mention in the mainstream media this week.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. They didn't, you know, it's interesting. In the past, of course, when we've been mentioned, people have reached out to us for comment. This time they just cited us in an ESPN the magazine article about
it was like a Wikipedia citation.
Right, exactly. It was an analytics article that they wrote on The Bachelor predicting the winner, which we, of course, did a few years ago, and they sort of did a similar article and credited us, so that was exciting.
Yeah, when you guys did that, were you doing the same types of critiques as they were talking about? Redheads never advance past here, or...
Yeah, that redhead thing was something we definitely talked about. In the categories they use, you know, hair color, or state of origin, profession. We analyzed all of that stuff.
I would love to see this if it's standing by somewhere. I'd love to revisit it.
I haven't got the numbers since we did it. You know, so it's been two seasons, but I can send it to you.
Yeah, that's all good. It's got me thinking now of who is the most successful redhead on this show. Was it Kelly with the dog? She had red hair, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if anyone's ever gone anywhere.
Past like final eight?
Never. You rarely see it, which is odd because I, you know, personally, I can find redheads incredibly attractive. So,
but maybe the simple fact is there's just not that many of them that have been on the show, since I'm struggling to think of any.
It's true. There was that Michelle girl who kissed Jake and he like rebuffed her. I think she had red hair. That was a while. I mean, that was.
I don't think she had red hair because she's made a couple of appearances on Bachelor Pad and Bachelor Paradise since then. We're talking about the awkward tiny Michelle.
Maybe.
She's definitely done a couple of summer seasons. Maybe the first Paradise.
That sounds familiar.
And then probably like the second or the first Pad, but not a redhead, so not worth our time.
There haven't been that many. That's an you know. You might be right. They just don't apply.
Yeah, well, and to that point, we've had the same thing. Of course, we had a conversation last week. You and Dan and myself, we discussed the merits of Rachel and the early selection of Rachel, and of course, being the first African-American lead on this franchise. Any new theories for you on why this was announced so early? I know Chris Harrison's come out trying to say, hey, it was all about casting, blah, blah, blah. Anything else new brewing in your book on this?
Yeah. Is he actually seconding the theory you posed last week about trying just having to cast the men and reaching out to?
Yeah, more the we need to cast earlier because we need to have the best pool of people possible. I mean, he kind of hemmed and hawed a little, but it was the general gist. It wasn't my other theory on Raven is crushed at the end or something, and they didn't want her to be the sentimental favorite.
Right. I think your theory that Harrison, that sounds like, kind of confirmed is the right one. I've floated that by some people this week, and they all sort of took to that one.
Yeah.
And
I guess it's different than
good looking young black men.
Yeah.
Unless you want to have the same old ratio of, you know, 20 white guys and a few black guys or other minorities. And
right. Yeah. Well, what's interesting is I heard on another podcast this week, someone talking about a connection from The Bachelor, and the information, they had posed the question to that person was, do you know when we knew Rachel was going to be The Bachelorette? And said, no, of course the answer was no. And he said, we knew Rachel was going to be The Bachelorette before we knew Nick was going to be The Bachelor.
Really?
So they already had her in the casting pond before naming Nick as The Bachelor.
Wow, they know she wasn't going to win.
I presume they maybe got lucky that she went along this far.
Or that was orchestrated?
Or somewhat orchestrated, I don't know. But if that's true, then that speaks a lot to her in general, that they met her and were like, wow, we need you to be the lead on this show.
Right. No, it definitely is a compliment to her. You could even see a situation as cynical as this is, where they approached him and were like, all right, here's the deal. We'll give this to you after your three appearances on the show, but Rachel will be in the final four.
I think it's fair, and I can't remember, you still haven't indulged in Unreal, right?
No. I can't believe I haven't.
Have to. So when we hit this here in 3 weeks, when we go off of The Bachelor for 2 months,
yeah,
I think it's time for you to plow through some Unreal. There's two seasons of it.
I agree with you.
And it's not a two-hour commitment. It's only single-hour episodes. So.
Am I able to watch that on – how do I watch that?
I think it's on demand or it's on Hulu or somewhere. Anyhow, I thought that was really interesting information about Rachel. We'll talk more about her as we go on. I think we have a fun format for the show tonight. I'm going to kick things off, though, with kind of a question. Who had the best hometown date? And we're going to get to the families in a minute, but who had the best hometown date, Matt?
In my opinion, and I'm doing this from which date I would personally have preferred to go on, it would be Corinne.
The emasculating date.
Well, yeah, I don't, you know, I will love to go shop. First of all, as a city guy who doesn't like, you know, some of the stuff they make these guys do in the wilderness, I can see myself going shopping with my wife more often than these other things. So it feels like a more real date.
Would your wife buy you a $650 sweatshirt?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Buy me a $650 pair of sweatpants.
Pamper me.
So that seemed fun, although I'm not sure that if my wife or fiance or girlfriend or whatever you call it, Corinne, was so comfortable wandering into these places. They all knew her. She's throwing around cash like it's nothing. And Nick is like, I'm not sure if that's good or bad. And I was like, no, that's bad, buddy. There's no good about that. It's good if she's going to buy the stuff for you on a random date, but I don't think a lifetime of that makes it good.
Yeah, from those first two seasons of Nick, the Andy season and the Caitlin season, his wardrobe was very much Banana Republic and J. Crew.
Yeah,
which is fine, but it's not $650 sweatshirts.
Right. I thought that day was fun, and then you throw in the Greek food, and all in all, I like that day.
Buys him a $3,000 outfit, and then takes him to lunch to confess her deep feelings. drops the L bomb, and who would have thought Corinne would trot that out before some of these other women?
Totally. Well, she's in it to win it. There's no question.
And the more I watch, the more I like Corinne. I don't know how I say that, but she seems maybe the most into him, at least from the cut we get. And yeah. I felt like on this date, I felt like he was most interested in her.
I agree. And I think, I like Raven a lot. And I respect Vanessa a lot, but she's become kind of boring. And Rachel's great, but we know she's not going to win. So from that perspective, Corinne is fun, or at least he finds her fun. There's no question.
Yeah, and you said something there a minute ago, and that gets to my favorite hometown date, and that was Raven. I've started really liking Raven. We've been a little sheltered from her throughout the season. We get little bits and pieces, but she's never really stood out. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think that, as we mentioned last week, her big moment was that awesome story about her walking in on her boyfriend. Yes.
Which I think we should repeat every week because I go a week and I forget about it. And then I hear someone mention it. I'm like, oh, yes, she's got this whole other amazing story.
That was awesome. Maybe the best part of the season. And so, but other than that, yeah, she's just kind of there. I think she's. I got into a debate about this week. I find her to be probably the best looking left. And someone said she's like a less attractive version of Andy. I don't know. She might be a more attractive version of Andy. I can't tell.
I was not an Andy fan. I don't know who I would liken her to. I actually think she more resembles than anyone Courtney Robertson.
Oh, well, that's high praise.
Yeah, I mean – Raven haired, no pun intended, right. But both tall, slender. I mean, they match up pretty well. And in this date, they're racing four wheelers. I would call it mudding, but it's not mudding. It's like they're watering,
right?
and it's not a swamp. It's just like a field of water. It's almost like they. I was curious. This is like super. Crazy Fanny, so I wouldn't have done this, but I was wondering, should we go check the weather reports on when we think they were filming this to see if it really rained a lot or if they went out there with a hose and made this full of water?
Jeez, you are a bigger conspiracy theorist than I am. I guess I do have to watch on that.
Yeah, they're so wet, they had to strip their clothes off.
Yeah.
And... They're wrestling and the men are oohing and aahing while they watch. The women are oohing and aahing while they watch. It's a great date.
Yeah, that is fun. I agree.
And I really enjoyed it.
I just am not. I can't picture myself on an ATV. But Raven, if I were with Raven, I think maybe you're right. So, all right, category two for the evening.
What do you got? Lay it on me.
Who has the best family?
Oh, there's multiple contenders here. And I hope we don't have the same one. But for me, the best family has to be the family we've been dying to meet all season. And that's Corinne's family, the Olympiosis. And...
We don't
and have one Raquel.
Yes.
I am a little disappointed we didn't get to see what Armor Garage looks like in person. Right. Although they live in a condo building, so they may not have their own garage. But they went on that date. We got home. We had the olives, which I got the impression might be the only thing – that Raquel doesn't prepare for them. That they know how to prepare olives in their family,
and they looked good. That they really did.
I'm not an olive guy, but I might have tried one.
Yeah. Well, for you. If you were had any intention of staying around, you had to try.
You can't insult them.
Yeah, that exactly.
But question for you though, these olives. Nick didn't seem quite sure about it. He had it in his mouth for a while. Ends up saying it's the best olive ever.
Right.
But do you think there's any chance he really liked that olive?
I agree. It wasn't like he was trying to pull it over. It genuinely seemed like he was really struggling to get that down.
It's like if you took a shot of something really bad.
Right.
Warm, and then you're just like, oh, yeah, that was good. Thanks for buying me a shot.
Exactly. I agree. That was his reaction.
But also, the interactions with Raquel, we had this kind of awkward conversation. But it became clear why she's called the nanny, Matt. She's been around since Corinne was like 6 years old. She was her nanny and transitioned into being just the housekeeper. So that's why she's the nanny. It's not her nanny.
Right, I agree. But the fact that she's still around and servicing Corinne like this is crazy.
Hey, if why would you move out?
If you're her?
Yeah, if I'm Corinne, why would I move out? I'm on the payroll. I'm being waited on hand and foot.
Right.
I'm probably not working that hard. I got plenty of time to go to the beach, go to the gym,
I guess
go shopping, $3,000 a pop. And I'm thinking that was probably a light outing. I don't think that wasn't the same store where we'd seen her shopping for headbands and things.
Right.
So this was only the Nick outfit.
Yeah.
Scotch tasting, though, Mr. Olympias. You like how I'm giving him a proper name, Mr. Yeah. Olympias? After Pops talks to Corinne, he buys in a little bit, but then he goes to have this conversation with Nick. What do you make of this whole breadwinner conversation that he's having with Nick?
Well, I mean, it's pretty old school.
Super, super old school, and not to classify him, but it seems like an old school kind of Italian thing. Greece, Mediterranean country, probably some same cultural differences.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Or similarities, not differences.
I mean, I think obviously I don't have a problem with this. With the idea of your wife supporting you or earning more money. But I can see how I'm not sure that's the situation here. It seems like the situation is like, do you mind being cared for by me?
Yeah, me. Not Corinne, but by me.
Right. And that poses a whole separate issue. And it's not so much a feminist issue. It's more of a, I'm going to get to tell you what to do and run your life as your father-in-law. And that I don't want.
This is like a Joe Simpson issue. The Joe Simpson on Nick Lachey issue.
Right.
And we saw how well that worked out. And before that's all said and done, says, I love you again. And again, I'll say it again, between the family, between the date, it seemed to me like Nick liked that one the best.
I think so.
And that's my best family. Who is your best family?
I go with Raven's family.
Okay.
Funny, because I had Corinne as the best date, and you had Raven, and I. But
we're staying in the same family here, aren't we?
Yeah, the other two are really getting hosed. Although they were all pretty nice, I will say. I like there was no family I didn't like.
Yeah, I have some play for some of the other families as we go on in the show in a couple segments.
I agree, but what I liked about Raven's family, I guess I'm just a sucker for the whole story of like. Father was diagnosed with cancer, and now he's cancer-free, and everyone was just happy and nice and feeling thankful, and that it just felt like a good group of people.
What do you think of Nick's clapping response to the news?
I think he could have been a little bit more excited, actually. He seemed like a little toned down with that. I would have been like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Like,
Yeah, at the same time, he just met the guy, right?
Yeah, I know, but like he's telling you, and he's telling his daughter for the first time that he's cancer free. I think you kind of have to be like, "Holy cow!"
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, like a hug is in order, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember what else about that family, but I'm not remembering a whole lot.
I'm not either. I think I was just focused on that aspect of it.
But you did have, moving on to kind of our best thoughts on best family member. Okay. You had some thoughts there. And I know you were on the fence between a couple. Who'd you end up going with?
All right. Well, so my debate was between Raven's dad, who was this nice guy who is now cancer-free and was just happy and very, very nice to Nick, and the whole thing went well, and he was just...
And we really just met mom, dad, and brother there, I believe.
Yeah. And I kind of liked him. And then, of course, Vanessa's dad, and he was on the polar opposite side of this. Not that he wasn't a nice guy, but he was on the, I'm a real human being, and I'll be damned if I'm going to give you my blessing when you can't even look me in the eye and tell me you're in love with my daughter and going to propose to her, but rather when I ask you, so did you ask the same question to three other guys? And you say, I sure did.
Question here for you though. So Vanessa's dad was separate. We met the Vanessa army at her mom's house. And then we met Vanessa's dad. We were not introduced by name, I don't think, to him, or by relationship to the woman that was with him. Was it? We don't know if his wife, his girlfriend, his fiance, domestic partner. I don't know. Is she? Do they have a Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell thing going on? I thought it was interesting, but and we only got a snippet of her, and that's when she was talking with Vanessa while Nick was getting lectured by Dad.
Right. And I, you know, but I have long thought that if I were the father, I would always react like this. Just sort of like, hey, buddy, why don't we do this? When you pick my daughter and you want to propose to her, call me back. Otherwise, no, this isn't happening. I might have actually chosen the Rachel father approach if I were the father, which is to say, I have a work emergency, and I will not be in attendance at this.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. And that sounds like I'm a federal judge, and it's probably wise for me to keep the respect of the court in hand and not go on The Bachelor. But will he be on next season when it's kind of more of a thing?
Right. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. If that is the motivation, then I don't see how it gets better. But for him to be totally MIA during that one is hard.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Rachel's family, because that leads into my best family member picks. I did a pick two. And in the first was Rachel's mom. Rachel's mom was a boss. She was great. And amazing just watching her. It's like same facial expression, same mannerisms as Rachel. And it's funny for me watching Rachel. Listeners know Rachel, when she was an intern in college, worked for me a little bit. And I don't remember her mannerisms or facial expressions from back in the day. But when she does them, I remember them. I'm like, oh, I remember these expressions from the office or wherever. So that's very fun, but I was really impressed with the mom, her and the little sister, dead ringers to Rachel's.
That was her younger sister. I never put that together.
Yeah, there was a younger sister and an older sister,
which is the one that was married to the white guy.
To the woodpecker. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was the older sister.
Okay, that woman may have been even better looking than Rachel.
And that dude, he was not Nick.
No.
And I'm not a big Nick fan.
I need to know more about that.
I would love to know. I hope we get more of that guy next season.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And
it was good that he was there, because when they broached the whole, like, you know, you realize you're dating a black woman thing. And Nick was like, yeah.
And he's like looking at that guy in the corner going, hey.
That guy's presence made everyone, I think, a little bit – that made that whole conversation easier.
It totally did. Was not expecting it, but made for good TV. So Rachel's mom thought she was great. Looking forward to more Rachel's mom. My other one, though, and maybe my all-star for the episode, Vanessa's redheaded Irish-Italian cousin in the denim jacket and gold chain with, like, a mullet, who I thought looked like Willow.
Oh, gee.
And this guy was great. I mean, I don't even know what to say. He actually, maybe it wasn't a cousin. Was he a little brother or was he a cousin? But he tells Vanessa that she's the greatest person in his life. They both start crying. And I don't think there's a comparable person in Bachelor lore to this man.
Oh, gosh. I'd have to look back.
I wonder if they said, what? There's no just super interesting person in this army of people that you've brought in for dinner. Let's go get a ringer off the street. Cousin Vinny.
Oh, God, that would be so amazing if that were true.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was a definite highlight for me.
So, all right, I think second to last category.
Segment four here, if you will.
Yeah, segment four. The best, and this is my favorite. I used to write about this when I did write for the site. Best hometown meal.
Well, we talked about the olives, and that's all we really knew that happened at Corinne's house, right?
Right. Although, you know, I love ethnic food. If I could have Greek food all the time, that might be my third favorite option.
Are you a lamb guy? Do you like the lamb?
I do. I love that. Yes.
I love it. I could eat the Euro meat all day.
I love that. Absolutely. And I also like a lot of feta cheese. I like, so it's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm a quarter Lebanese. So same realm of Mediterranean food. So yeah. big fan of that as well. My favorite hometown date. I wasn't gonna go with the olives. Since I don't really know what else they had there. I'm sure Raquel was not a Greek chef. We didn't give her enough lip service, but we'll go ahead and move on. We waited all season for her, and it was nice to hear that she thought of Corinna as her daughter, but they couldn't even keep up the whole charade for even dinner that she was part of the family, because the next thing you knew, she was washing the dishes.
Yeah.
But my favorite meal, it has to be Vanessa. Big family meal, big Italian family meal.
Yeah.
They had lots of food, lots of people. Unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of content from that particular setting.
Exactly.
Just because we were splitting off into groups, and we also had to allow for two group gatherings.
In my ethnic meal
hierarchy,
exactly. Italian would be one. So a good home cooked Italian meal, I don't think that can be beat. But they didn't. I don't remember that being dealt with heavily on this episode. So, but generally speaking, yeah. When Vanessa first announced that she was of Italian heritage, I was like, oh, that would be amazing. Just absolutely. For the
food. Hey, you live in the right place.
Yeah.
A lot of Italian food, as David Letterman would call it. But your favorite meal.
Well, I thought the meal that they spent the most time talking about was Rachel's meal.
Rachel apparently doesn't like to eat anything.
Yeah, but they like quizzed Nick on what was in front of him, and every single thing sounded delicious.
Some brisket, some okra.
Okra, mac and cheese, I think, was there.
Don't most people know what okra is?
I would think so. I mean, it's not like I spent my life eating it, but I certainly have had it and know what it is, and I like it.
I mean, like fried okra is a pretty prevalent thing, at least in Texas. I think throughout the South,
Yeah, every season of Top Chef, you know, if it comes up, it's Tom Colicchio makes a big thing about how it's like the one thing he doesn't like.
He's done it a couple times this season, and actually last week I think ate okra and enjoyed it. Ate all of it.
Right, exactly.
And our Top Chef tangent of the night.
Yeah, sorry to go there. But that meal sounded amazing. Brisket and mac and cheese.
Absolutely. So, staples of Texas barbecue. The brisket, some mac and cheese at times, but coleslaw, beans, potato salad, throwing some fried okra. Sign me up. Let's go.
I'm in on that.
Okay. I don't know what they were drinking, but I'm sure it was great.
Absolutely. That seemed fun.
Yeah. So now we come to kind of a more fun topic here. Not that food's not fun, because I love food. What was the most awkward moment of these hometown dates, in your opinion?
All right. Well, so it's a tie for me, I think, between them Raven and Nick climbing whatever that was.
No ID.
And then getting stopped by a cop who quite clearly knew them and then was later to be revealed as her brother.
Weston.
That was awkward. I mean, because I think Nick had to know either, okay, I'm in my cousin Vinny all of a sudden, or...
cousin Vinny's getting a lot of air tonight.
I would have immediately been like, I shot the clerk. But instead, it was clearly her brother. So that was awkward. And then the tie is with the aforementioned Vanessa's father saying, how many people did you ask the blessing from? And Nick saying, all of them.
Her face when she got that information relayed to her from her dad after hearing that he asked, hearing that he had asked others.
Yeah.
It was almost as if she had asked, or if he had asked, how many of these women do you intend on sleeping with in the fantasy suite?
Absolutely. It was a crushing blow to her.
I have a theory, and we'll get to it because we're going to talk about our picks for the rest of the way. But I have a theory on Vanessa this episode. My most awkward moment of this episode is my only time I'm picking Rachel for tonight. And that was when the producer sat back, in my opinion, and said, what's the blackest thing we could make Nick go do for this episode?
But
Rachel, could you set up taking him to probably midday church where they like just rounded up whoever they could get to come, because that was a big church and it was not very full.
Right.
And
I think that's totally right.
Nick is awkwardly clapping along. It was some of the most, and even her clapping was awkward.
It was Forrest Gumpish.
Yeah. And to have them called out in front of what was there of the congregation, very awkward. Very forced. I don't doubt that that's Rachel's church or that she goes there. It just seemed like the producers were like, what uncomfortable situation can we put Nick in? Like, we've let him skirt by long enough on this issue of this interracial relationship that hasn't really been talked about at all.
Right.
Let's throw him right into it. And then, of course, he got it poured on at the house when that's all anybody wanted to talk about.
Right. So the minute she was like, okay, we're going somewhere where I know you've never been. And I guess I just have watched a lot of reality TV in my day, but I was like, oh, they're going to a black church. I mean, of course they are.
Well, I knew something was up when he was wearing slacks. Nick wears jeans nearly all the time, unless he's suited up.
Right. Does Nick have no rhythm? I think we've seen him dance enough that he seems fine. But suddenly in the church, he seemed like he just was clapping totally off beat and just kind of like, it was as awkward as.
We don't know what the video edit versus the sound edit were, though.
Well, that's true, too.
So there might have been a recording of the music being played on top of other B-roll. Which might be why Rachel didn't look like she was clapping properly either.
That's true.
Yeah. Apparently there's some great video of Nick dancing at the Janner wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that really? Led up. He might have been dancing with Liz. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Okay, so now we're coming down to the end here. So
we are. All right, 3 weeks left.
Who do you have in your final two? Obviously, we know Rachel's gone, so we know the – I mean, I actually quick tangent. Is it possible that Rachel makes it to the final three or two and they truly ruined the season?
I think it's very possible final three.
All right.
Final two, I think it's possible, but I would be really upset with the franchise if she's in the final two.
I mean, if they did that and they announced her at the final five, pretty much, right? I mean,
yeah.
And then they basically just spoiled the elimination for the next four episodes. That would be absolutely idiotic.
Unless she gets to the end and rejects Nick.
Oh, okay. That would be cool.
That's the only way that it's not spoiled.
Right.
If she's there in the end.
Right, right.
I think that we got the leader in the clubhouse bad edit this week for Vanessa. We've seen it before. Over the years, we see the leader get the bad edit, and we know that they're the leader.
That's true.
So I think Vanessa's still in the final two.
All right. So if you've got Vanessa, so assuming Rachel goes home now, we've got a Corinne, Vanessa, Raven final three.
I'm going final two here. Vanessa. All right, yeah. And I'm going to go Raven. And I think Vanessa probably wins.
That's stunning.
I either Rachel or Corinne, I don't know. But this is kind of spoilery, but not really spoilery if you watch this season on. When you see them in the snow in, I think, Finland for the fantasy suites, Rachel's there. So.
Oh, God.
I guess my bet is Corinne goes home.
Well, I have her winning now. I think
Corinne winning alongside
Raven.
Okay.
And then
so we're both in agreement that Raven gets dumped at the altar.
Yeah, and then I think the proposal place. I think Christina and Raven will be the two most popular human beings at Paradise.
Can we get Jen Saviano back?
Maybe just a whole series of Nick dumpies that weren't even on this season.
Yeah. So Matt, I really hope you're wrong because I cannot have Paradise without Corinne there.
Oh my God, you're right.
Corinne cannot win. She has to be in Paradise.
I agree with you.
Maybe Raquel could come hang out with Jorge and serve drinks.
Corinne. In Paradise, she's the best possible Paradise contestant they've had.
She'll be passed out the whole time. You know what? I forgot to mention this. You know why we liked Corinne so much this week? It's the first time all season she hadn't been drunk.
Right.
She's been drunk every other episode.
That's true. I
think she was a lot more likable this week.
She was. I mean, I don't think she's likable enough to marry, but she certainly was fun, and I wouldn't have minded, like I said, getting a pair of $600 sweatpants.
A $3,000 outfit.
Right.
Yeah, so Corinne over Raven for you, Vanessa over Raven for me in the final. We've had two episodes with four people on them now, so.
Last thing that we forgot. What on God's green earth
is Andy Dorfman doing there?
Yeah.
Did I take the words right out of your mouth?
Yeah.
You know how Bachelor rolls.
Gonna just like wish him well.
I bet she shows up and gives some advice on how to have a failed relationship with Josh Murray. And who by the way, I think is back together with Amanda Stanton. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get a guy in there too, a Ben Higgins or a Sean Lowe again for some pat on the butt before he gets on the plane to go to Fantasy Sweetland.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe Andy shows up and says, hey, remember how you felt after the Fantasy Suite? Keep that in mind when you're heading to the Fantasy Suite.
Maybe she does say that. That would be actually pretty decent advice that he better not heed.
Because, and what if Corinne doesn't go to the Fantasy Suite? That defeats this. My mind will be blown.
Yeah, I mean, you got to see what a platinum is like, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's go ahead and wrap up the Bachelor conversation for this week. As we always do, Dan's not here, but we like to talk about fantasy for reality. Dano and I have been slugging it out. Corinne and Rachel for me, Vanessa and Raven for him. But I think it's too far gone, Matt. I got a 660-point lead. Oof. With 3 weeks left. He's going to need some heavy lifting out of one of these women in the Women Tell All.
Does it even feel like a controversial Women Tell All? It doesn't feel that antagonistic.
I'm sure we'll get somebody that really comes in and shakes things up. I still don't think we ever got points for Rachel over on the beta site for being the Bachelorette.
All right, I will.
I got an even bigger lead. But what you guys?
Our fantasy guy who handles the beta site is in Aruba,
Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda, yeah. Bahama. Come on, pretty yep. Mama. That finishes my singing segment for the night. But so you guys have Bachelor right now. You have Challenge. Top Chef's pretty much over.
I don't know if it ended last night. I have to watch.
It's tonight.
Oh, it's tonight. Okay,
we're recording on Thursday night. I think it's the final. If not, it's over next week for sure.
Right. But the Oscars coming this Sunday, so that's on the site. And then we posted Survivor. It's there.
Oh, it's there. We got about a month.
A couple weeks. Yeah, March 8th, something like that.
Let's play in a league together since Dano doesn't like Survivor.
Excellent.
We'll play.
And this is going to be quite the season.
I think it's going to be great. And we're going to have some great overlap with the Challenge.
Yeah.
And then on the back end, we'll probably have some overlap with the Bachelorette.
Very excited.
So let's talk Challenge real quick, though.
All right.
Six people left needing a spot in the Oasis, only four spots remaining. They go to this challenge, like right off the bat, called Caged and Confused. I like the pun because we all know that I'm a huge Dazed and Confused fan. But
yeah.
Spinning and rolling in these square cages, those cages seemed a lot heavier than maybe they looked. But it also seemed to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like the heavier you are as a person, the better you would be able to be at this challenge.
It could be. I mean, it did seem like, you know, I always try to picture myself in these challenges. I could imagine being in that cage and just not being able to move it at all.
Yeah. I think you have to have just reckless abandon for your body.
Well, which I don't.
you don't even want to ride the four-wheeler.
I don't. You're right. I tell you, the shopping date was my perfect date.
That was your jam.
Yeah. But they really struggle to get those things going. So maybe you're right. I mean, who is the heavier guy?
Yeah, well, so that was my take when the women were doing it. And yeah. All the women that were doing it were pretty small. We had LaToya and Amanda and
Sylvia.
And I feel like Sylvia's the one that really struggled at first. But Amanda kind of figured it out. So I think there was a certain sweet spot into weight. And not being too tall either. I felt like when it was the guy's turn, Shane gets in. He leads the whole time. Anthony comes on late. Nelson struggled. Nelson's the heaviest of those guys, but right. Also probably the tallest. And when you're in that little cage.
Right. Can't get
moving. It's going to take everything out of your legs really fast because you had to be in a crouch and in a kind of an explosive position the whole time. Right. Shane rallies and wins. Amanda wins. I was happy with both of those. I could take or leave the other people. Especially Shane, an old school Road Rules guy who I'm fully expecting to show up and be buddy-buddy with Darrell and the champions.
Exactly.
You know what I loved about this challenge, though? Caged and Confused? Nothing to do with the cages, nothing to do with competitors. It was the old school vibe. You know what I'm talking about?
The
old school vibe that they brought back, the individual challenge rewards. So, harkening back to the days of T-Mobile sidekicks and
kicker car
audio, set of golf clubs, snowboards.
That's right.
We had Burger King for a year.
Which basically was like, we're trying to kill you.
And basically was, I never eat Burger King. We had it in the student union in college, and I ate it a lot.
Yeah.
And I never want to eat Burger King. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, my God, I want to eat Burger King.
Back when I ate fast food, I much preferred Burger King to basically everything. I started to like Wendy's hamburgers.
You guys don't have all the great other selections in Chicago. You don't have some of the Southern burger pieces. I guess you probably do have like a Five Guys or something like that.
We've got Five Guys now, and then we've got Danny Meyer's.
There's a Shake Shack in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
But not a Sonic, not a Whataburger.
No.
You're missing out.
We have a Steak and Shake.
That comes from the South. I think I don't want to say it's from Florida, but I have a kind of think it might be from Florida.
We have that chicken place now.
That chicken place.
The one from
Raising Cane's?
No. The one that's all controversial with their political stance.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. You didn't have Chick-fil-A before?
Maybe a few years now, but not for that long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyhow, craved Burger King afterwards. Fortunately for me, the nearest Burger King closed down a couple months ago. So no real threat of me going over there and indulging in some charbroiled burgers that they put, you know why they put them in the broiler at Burger King, right?
Nope.
It's the lowest quality meat you can serve to people, and you can kill off everything by broiling it.
Is that right? Oh, God.
Maybe an urban legend. I don't know. We'll talk about that on our food podcast that doesn't exist.
Well, one quick story now that you bring it up. There was a night years and years ago where Laura and I were wandering through Manhattan, and I was starving. We passed by a Burger King. I walk in. I stand in line. It's my turn. The cashier says, "What would you like, ma'am?"
Were you in drag?
No. And I just looked at Laura. I was like, "Did he, what just happened?" And to this day, we laugh about that.
Maybe it was the king. Maybe they wanted you to be the. Maybe they're looking for a queen. King and the queen.
Yep.
All right. What this elimination tie rise? I dug it. Yeah. Climbing 1,000 feet of steps. Competing individually. These things must have been really tough and really steep because it was crushing these people.
Not only that, but TJ was like incredibly complimentary.
Oh, yeah. When Nelson came down, hard dab for him. Didn't get it, killed it.
Nobody's gotten one all season. But he did just like lavish praise on them, like, "You, I'm so proud of you guys. You really did well." Like,
I wonder if TJ tried this out, because the thing that Theo punked out on last week,
yeah,
there's a bit that MTV put out a video. TJ did it,
really?
Yeah, which
that's awesome.
I had heard a podcast with TJ in the last year or so where he talked about like how he used to do that, and then he would like race to get there before the actual people that could tell him no, he wasn't allowed to would get there. but now he kind of has to put health over his wilding out. Yeah, particularly after his near catastrophic injury.
Right.
Right. Either this was really tough, or they are in horrible shape.
Right.
Which the girls, yes, maybe. I don't think that any of those three guys are in terrible shape.
No, they look fun.
But so Sylvia wins a ticket. Nelson wins a ticket. LaToya and Anthony go home.
Right.
And these people, they went back to the shelter. Tell everybody to pack their bags.
Yeah.
These people lost their freaking minds.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, typically in the first episode, they run in, they dash around the house, they find her bedroom, they celebrate, and then Johnny Bananas gives a toast. This time, it was just like unbelievable excitement. I mean, everything about it was exciting. The shower was exciting.
I mean,
a dance came about the shower.
I mean, think about if you were on Survivor and you didn't get voted out and you get to go hang out at Ponderosa.
Right.
And you're
right.
still on the show. And I don't think Ponderosa is as nice as that house that they're staying in.
Exactly. They should do one of those where like Redemption Island turns out to be like
you're living in a hotel.
Yeah.
We're hanging out at the resort and
that would be
I'm being served Mai Tais.
It would be interesting strategically, like to put them in a like really cushy, awesome place with great food, but you're alone.
Right.
You have to decide, is it better to be – it's like, you know, how Probst always offers them sometimes a chance to buy out of a challenge with a food.
Right.
But this time it's like, yeah, no, you can buy out.
A night in a hotel.
Right.
Yeah.
But your social game is over for a while.
Yeah, and everyone hates you.
Right.
Which I would be fine if Survivor got rid of every type of luxury ever.
Yeah,
and the only rewards were Flint and the Singapore sling or what? That's a drink. Never mind. That's not what I'm talking about. The harpoon sling thing that they fish with, fishing gear.
Right, right.
Like, maybe you can win some more rice or beans, but
chicken.
Get rid of all the luxuries.
Mm.
Tarps, those are fine, but don't let them go take a shower and eat 9 pounds of steak. Or I've never understood the appeal of wanting the ice cream when you're out there because I'm pretty sure I know what happens after that. And it ain't pretty.
From the loved ones.
Yeah, I could do away with that too. Unless we get a Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, God, that was the best.
Yes. But anyhow, look, let's turn back to the challenge.
Yeah.
People, we talked about these people lost their mind. It's party time. Smashley and Hunter, they're getting a little cozier.
Are we to assume there was actual intercourse?
If there wasn't there was at some point in time. She more or less insinuated, and I'd take her as a woman of her word.
She seems forthright.
Yeah. I think she's a fixture of the challenge for many years to come. We've had her for 3 seasons now. I like her.
Maybe she's like the more likable version of Jemmy.
I think she's the more likable version of Camilla.
Oh, yeah, well.
But to be a champion, you have to beat the champions. I love it. I love it. I love it. The looks on their faces when they came in, the looks on the champions' faces, like, our crap don't stink.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched the new show after the challenge. Did you watch the new show, the On an Island with $1 Million show?
No.
Kind of interesting. I'd suggest maybe watching it.
Okay.
But during the show, there was a preview, like you know how they do an extended preview at times on MTV?
Sure.
They did that of the challenge for next week. And at least for the first challenge, I don't know if this is going to be the case going forward because they may have a hard time balancing it out. But they are – it's even numbers, right? It's 8-on-8 right now.
So it's just champions.
They're competing as teams against one another. It's looks to be a team sport now.
Yeah, I never liked those seasons.
Which
second of all,
we haven't had one in a long time though.
We have Rivals, Ruins. I mean,
but Ruins has been 5-6 seasons ago now.
Yeah, and this seems very lopsided. Almost like the Gauntlet 3 is lopsided.
So. I don't know that it's – I mean, yeah, we know it's a known entity on one side. But on the other side, you have Jenna. You have Corey. You have some wily veterans. You have some upstart young guys that I think can do some things. I think Kayla's good.
Yeah.
I even think Smashley can compete if she's not hungover. Dario has proven himself a little bit. So
I will root for the challengers if this is the case.
I will not. I will cheer for my favorites. I'm really excited about Darrell. I really like all the women that are on the champions team. I mean, even Camilla. I was a big Ashley Kelsey fan on her season of San Diego. She's not super interesting. She is very good looking. Not to objectify her or any women on this podcast.
But Laurel?
Big fan of Laurel and Cara Maria. Big fans. And then the four guys, like all the four guys. But I can't wait to see the dynamic of Jenna, Ashley, and Zach all being in the house together.
Oh, man. And I like Zach. I like Darrell. I do not like Bananas.
How do you not? He's a legend.
Yeah, I acknowledge that, but gee whiz.
It's like Derek Jeter.
I didn't like Derek Jeter either.
How do you not like Derek Jeter?
I just hate the Yankees.
Oh, I don't think we can be friends anymore, Matt. I'm not going to be able to write for the website.
Who was the fourth guy that I just left out? CT, obviously.
That guy, CT.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, I'm excited to see it. But the show that comes on after it now, this idea, there's this group of people. They give them $1 million out in the woods. There's a chart of things that they can buy for an $8,000 hatchet or a $15,000 meal for two people. And that keeps coming out of the $1 million. So you have people there that don't want to spend anything. And I think they're doing it to where if they don't all agree, then it doesn't happen.
Oh, gee.
And it's survive in the woods with zero supplies for 40 days.
And if you survive, you get to keep what's left?
Whoever's left at the end, if it's one person gets what's left, if it's a group of people, they split it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's very young.
That seems interesting.
But it's, I mean, so what if you spend $100,000? There's still $900,000 left. I do get the idea that you want to try to burn out a few people before you start spending some of the money.
Yeah, this is interesting.
So I'm not saying it's great TV, but no, it's definitely worth checking out.
Spot, though. Yeah, I like that.
So set your DVR. It comes on right after the challenge next Tuesday.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else top of mind for you before we get out of here?
No. Should be a good couple weeks here closing it all out.
I'm fired up. I'm extremely excited. I'm always excited for the challenge, but I'm really into this one. Quick look over our scores on Fantasy for Reality. I'm getting blasted. But that's okay. I'll make it. I've lost three people. Daniel's lost three people. And it's on. It was an arms race on picking challengers versus champions. Before we get out of here, I want to remind everyone where you can find us online. Follow us on Twitter, at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast. You can find Matt's website at fantasythenumeral4reality.com or on Twitter, the Twitter, at fantasythenumeral4reality. And just like we always say, but I think it's important, worth in addition to reminding you what we normally remind you of, we also want to remind you that Abraham Lincoln and Michael Jordan both took naps. And we also remind you we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.